Now? Timer on. 3, 2, 1.
We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing how you took that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Have yeah,
it
absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Oh Really Radio, episode 12, for Friday, June 27th, 2014. And gosh darn it, that's on loop. Okay.
Good job.
I'll skip that
good
next time.
GG noob. Well done.
Shut it.
Now that's the way I want to start every show.
That's the way? Right there with
that's
a flow.
That's the way.
Awesome.
With the usual suspects. Yeah. And Don and Mike and Dave.
Yeah.
What them. Up?
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so we don't really have anything to say from last week other than, hey, we're all still friends. And we can talk about religion all we want and still make it out unscathed. So let that be a lesson to everyone else.
Well, we've done politics and religion, but we haven't hit sex. And that's the last of the trio that loses friends.
I think we can cover that really easy. Everyone here thinks sex is great, right? We all love it.
Yay. Yep.
Yay.
All right, we're good.
All right, there you go. Yep.
I guess we're just going to have to stay friends.
Now, we'll say among consenting adults.
Yes.
Just to,
yes.
Just
yes.
to say we're legal.
Yes.
We're
horrible people.
Exactly. And speaking of horrible people, not necessarily horrible, but definitely of a particular bend. Politically, I have formerly aligned myself as many things, but my ideas have changed as I've gotten older and, in theory, wiser, just as I've learned more. And most recently, I kind of allied myself more on the libertarian side of things, with a smaller government and more personal responsibility, less involvement. It sounds like a great idea, but I am into more socialized things. I do think that if we're going to pay into a system, I think it should take care of everyone. So I was a big fan of Ron Paul in the former presidential race just because he was talking some sense about a lot of things, you know, more budgetary concerns and things like that. Get out of the wars, you know, concentrate on home. Sounded like a great idea. But good old crazy Uncle Ron did not make it, as we know, and I am still on his mailing list. So the reason I bring this up is the message that I got this evening at 4:41, Independence Day AR-15 giveaway. Yeah, that's right. Uncle
AR-15
Ron.
AR-15 as in the rifle?
Yes. Former Congressman Ron Paul. Well, I'll just read it. Dear so-and-so, the founders knew there can be no freedom without the ability to defend it. So they included the Second Amendment in the U.S. Constitution as a bulwark against government tyranny. In honor of our Second Amendment freedoms, I'm pleased to announce that Campaign for Liberty is giving away a brand new Colt LE6920 MP-B AR-15 equipped with a red dot sight. The AR-15 will come with a magpul stock, pistol grip, handguard, and vertical grip, and a backup sight. The giveaway is free to enter, and you can learn more at the page linked below. Just click to enter Campaign for Liberty's AR-15 gun giveaway for your chance to win. Campaign for Liberty will contact you via email if you're the winner. Thank you for your support of Campaign for Liberty. For Liberty, Ron Paul, Chairman.
Well, I will start off by saying that that's actually a really good rifle.
Yeah.
Got some nice Magpul furniture on it. I don't know about the red dot sight. Depends on the brand of that, but not sure about the whole giveaway thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We were talking recently about gun control, and so this kind of segues from that.
I hope that they do their due diligence to actually investigate the backgrounds of whoever they're going to give the gun to.
To purchase, you have to have a background check. To right. be gifted, you don't.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, so there you go.
Even if they should, there should at least be the option that a private citizen can do, then can go into the registry and look up the background of someone that they intend to sell a weapon to or give a weapon to, and be like, okay, this guy's legit or not legit. That should at least be an option to do.
Well, that would mean that there is a registry that exists.
This should be mandatory. You can't just get a gun and give it to somebody, because if you make it so that you can, somebody who would be denied a gun can still get a hold of one by convincing his buddy that it's totally cool, even though he's, you know, a felon or something, when he shouldn't have a firearm.
And I believe that happens quite often. This is how people end up with guns. You know, it was a gift. He also gifted me $50. You know, it's fine. You know, gifts among friends. I gifted him the gun. He gifted me $500. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It just happens.
No.
They're just gifts.
It's like, I don't want the people who would mean me harm to have weapons.
Frankly,
because I want to have that as the unfair advantage in a perceived fight situation, which may or may not ever happen. I don't want them to. I want them to come at me with sticks or knives, so that while they're still over there and running towards me, I can pull out my 40 and be like, "This is where you stop."
And I will stop you.
And that, of course, is what every gun advocate would really like the scenario to be. But unfortunately, battle plans seldom survive contact with the enemy. Or reality.
Never.
In this case. Yeah. So.
Sure, but that doesn't mean we can't try.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose we can try.
You put forth the effort and say that you tried to do something about the problem so that the guy who did attack you was armed with only a stick or a knife instead of pulling out his gun and you just have to draw faster.
Yeah. So, speaking of trying to do the right thing, Walmart and Home Depot have been selling bee-friendly plants to try and to try and get the bees to our neighborhoods to continue to pollinate and do good things, because we kind of need the bees.
The bees are important, guys.
Bees are good.
Now, I will just backpedal on that statement just a tad, because honeybees actually not that important for pollination. Frankly, they're not. There's an awful lot of wild bees, and there's like several hundred different species that aren't being affected by these. So there is a lot of fluff around this particular story, but it is something that we need to be concerned with, because I like honey. You know, I would like more honey, please.
Bees are important, guys. They're important to the ecosystem.
So there's this chemical, which I'm now going to butcher the name of. Neonicotinoids.
Neonicotinoids.
Thank you.
Neonicotinoids.
Yes. There you go. Okay, they're very widespread. They are a insect poison, essentially. And it doesn't just lay on top of the plant. It gets into the plant and then exists in the plant. It never leaves. So every part of the plant is then poisonous to things that are susceptible to neonicotinoids.
You got it.
Hey, all right. 18th time the charm.
Hey, as long as you get there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
making progress.
It's the BBC had an article, widespread impacts of neonicotinoids impossible to deny. And basically there's just a conclusive amount of research that says, look, this is bad.
Well, hang on just a little second here. Mm-hmm. Never say it's impossible to deny, because there's some crackpot out there who's going to deny it. He may be wrong.
There
He's
you go. Yeah.
Wrong.
yeah.
Well, there's a story from Forbes saying that there's evidence that points away from neonics as the driver of colony collapse disorder.
They've already figured that one out. It's cell phones, cell phone radiation.
No, it's not.
At least one species of bee, it has been conclusively proven that cell phone radiation is what is causing them to get lost.
Oh. Well,
it's like one species in the entire world.
There's also a parasitic mite that's actually the biggest problem that is invading.
It's a multi-species pandemic, essentially.
Yeah, there's... There's a lot of things that are hurting our wonderful honey creating insects. But in particular, the neonicotinoids, I'm getting better. Them being a systemic insecticide, they're really hurting them. And one of the wonderful things that Walmart and Home Depot did was they bought these wonderful flowering plants, that have already been laced with that stuff. And it doesn't leave, the plants. So basically you are luring bees to their death.
Die.
Congratulations.
Well, let's be honest here. What did we expect from counts, evil right? Walmart overlords? No, it's not.
It's the thought.
Yeah, not when it's species killing.
They failed. But the effort was made.
No, somebody half-assed that one. They phoned it in.
Yeah, it pretty much was half-assed, yeah.
So are they trying to say that these plants can be eaten by humans but will be poisonous to insects?
Well, let's just make a blanket statement right here. Anytime there's a neurotoxin involved, you might want to be cautious.
Well,
no pun intended.
Yeah. Well, specifically, scientists are likening the neonicotinoids to our wonderful friend DDT. And DDT, of course, has, you know, posed a terrible issue and has been removed from general pesticide use globally.
Pesticide use?
Nice.
Mike. Got it. We missed you.
What? I was on a boat, motherfuckers.
Yes, I know.
I'm on a boat.
I was
on a boat.
Did you have your swim trunks and your flippy flappies?
I sure did.
Most of the neonicotinoids, at least in this particular instance, are on just flowering plants. So things that humans aren't typically going to eat. There's a whole different set of pesticides that are used on agricultural consumer products. And some of those, oh, wow. Yeah. Always wash your produce.
Yes, please do.
That's pretty much the only advice that we can really give you.
It's a good rule.
Yeah. Of course, then we could get into GMOs and whether or not those are good for you or bad for you or whether or not anyone even knows.
Yes, whether tuna is good or bad for you.
And
Spoiler alert, it's fine.
Well, unless it happened to be swimming in Fukushima. If the fish is glowing, you might not want to eat it.
Content, that's the biggest threat.
Well, yeah, but that's going to be true of any seafood, and you need to not have too much seafood just in general.
Yeah. Of course, also...
generally eat food.
Fish is ish.
One thing to know also is that we actually do need trace amounts of heavy metals in our bodies in order for things to work.
Yeah.
So
we do. It's important.
So just removing all of these heavy metals is not a good thing. You know, it's probably going to seep in somehow anyway. I think the only trace element that we really should never have is lead.
Yeah, lead is just bad.
Because it does very bad things to our neurology.
It fucks with
the myelin sheaths in your nerves.
Yeah, it's bad and it just never goes away. So
I think so.
So that was pesticides. So yeah, do some more research on that, everyone, and figure out what kind of plants you want to put in your yard if you'd like bees to be around. And well, try not to get stung. So
just move real slow around them. For those of you who are afraid of bees, because yes, getting stung does suck, and I'm actually allergic, so it is a concern for me. Just move real slow. Don't make any sudden moves. Don't agitate them, and they won't sting you. They're fine.
Yeah, and remember that they'll usually only sting if the hive is threatened.
Yeah.
Because it kills them.
Yes, an individual bee is very reluctant to sting.
Yeah, because as soon as they sting, that's it for them. They're done. You know, the stinger.
Little tiny kamikazes.
The little barb is not retractable like it is on a wasp or a hornet. Those bastards. So it will kill the bee. So they're reluctant. So just be reluctant to to swap them, just, you know, avoid them if at all possible.
So speaking of, I think the little buggers are adorable.
They're cute. Yeah, bees are cute. So things that inject you. New York City. Parents do not have the right to send their unvaccinated kids to school if another student has a vaccine-preventable illness, according to a Brooklyn federal district court. So what do you think about that? Ah, slow clap.
Yeah. I approve.
Slow clap algorithm still works.
Just because you are an idiot parent does not mean you get to endanger your kid. Fuck off.
Yes, as stated.
Yeah.
Just homeschool them if you don't want to send them to school with vaccines.
I mean,
yeah, I suppose you could
do that.
Either vaccinate your kid, you know, like a sane person should do, or, you know, deal.
Yeah. A parent's right to exercise their religion does not always make their children exempt from vaccination requirements. So I think this also extends beyond just school. I think it extends to any, like, state-issued benefit as well. Because you have to have a vaccination record to get into a lot of programs to qualify for things like WIC. I believe
you can't use the religious exemption to get out of vaccinations if you're in the military. People have tried, can't do it.
Yeah, no. You definitely don't want somebody suddenly developing mumps or measles or chicken pox right next to you in a foxhole.
Yeah, no.
That's really not a good idea.
Sorry. and if God is really going to be that mad at you, maybe you're following the wrong God.
there's plenty to choose from.
There really are.
Let's see. The
common in schools for the past how many years? I remember we had to have vaccinations back in school. I mean, how when did that start? That's actually kind of a good
question. I believe it was the 60s.
Yeah.
Like late to mid 60s, somewhere in there.
Something
like that.
Well, people are grasping at straws trying to explain why there's a sudden surge in autism rates over the past 20 years, even though vaccinations have been around for over 50 years. So,
mm-hmm. Maybe because people are getting smarter?
That's not true, Mike.
Yeah, no, I'm shutting that argument down.
That's not true.
Even though it's been statistically proven that the average intelligence of the human population is increasing.
It sure doesn't look like it when I watch TV, man.
I just wonder if a greater percentage of the retards are making the headlines. That's what I want to know.
I think they might be dumbing down the tests too.
Well, we had to employ them somewhere, so we put them in news and reality TV.
Womp womp.
Perhaps the IQ tests are now part of Common Core, which we know doesn't really work very well.
Well, don't forget about the amount that went into government. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, your kid has a 90 IQ. There's always politics.
Oh! As long as he's got a good team and speech writers and people who know how to prep him for the questions, he'll be fine.
Yeah. It's the man behind the men. That's really where it's come from.
Autism might not have nothing, probably doesn't have anything to do with all the chemicals that we are pumping into our bodies nowadays.
I have a different option that I want to bring to the table, and that's that autism as a spectrum. Technically, we're all autistic to some level.
Yeah.
Technically. And by that token, we're simply refining it down and we're finding more people that have autism because now we have better definitions for what it is.
Yeah.
We've gotten better at diagnosing it in the past 20 years.
Yeah. Also, that doesn't mean that there's a rise in the population of people that have it. It just means that now we know who they are.
We don't just call them weird people anymore.
No, this guy falls into this part of the spectrum. I actually also saw a thing. It was a really interesting study by some anthropologist or something. He had been examining autism studies, and he looked at the behaviors of autistics and realized, you know, autism is actually an evolutionary advantage. at least from back in the day when, you know, we were still, when fire was the new thing and the wheel was seeming like a pretty cool idea to some guy who was about to invent it, the autistic behaviors, their attention to detail and their emphasis on repetitive tasks and all sorts of things would have helped people.
Yeah, there's definitely a degree of possible survival instinct that comes from that, or just that attention to detail. They would think in a direction that the rest of the grouping wouldn't.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really fascinating idea. It never occurred to me before, and I'm like, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense, why it would have evolved at all.
Yeah, same thing with attention deficit disorder. They're thinking that also was an evolutionary adaptation, because being able to concentrate.
You find the guy with ADD and you stick him as a lookout.
Yeah, but yeah. Being able to concentrate on more than one thing was a big bonus when you're trying to hunt and not get hunted.
Yeah.
Squirrel, fox, tree,
Tyrannosaurus. No, wait, wrong one. That's if you're at the Creation Museum.
Interesting stuff, man.
So speaking of long-term problems, ice sheets may have already passed the point of no return.
Oh, yeah. That's
fantastic. Good news. Good news.
The cracks are beginning to show. Greenland's ice sheet slid into the sea 400,000 years ago when Earth was only a little warmer than it is today. That could mean we are set for a repeat performance. You know, there's plenty of aerial photography that NASA has put together of this is how it was 5 years ago. This is how it is now.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. I guess the most optimistic thing that I've heard come out of politicians that aren't, quote, buying in to the whole climate change thing is, hey, just think of all the passages that we're going to have through the North Sea.
Yeah, there you go.
Fantastic.
We won't have that pesky ice in the way.
All that new waterfront property that will come about.
They're working on transporter technology, and then they've got instantaneous communication via quantum entanglement. So we might not need those passages at some point.
Right. Might not need that. But here's the thing. We can't.
We might need more land to live on after it's covered in water, but
yeah.
Details.
Yeah, land is going to become a bit of a problem in the next 50 years or so.
Ish?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Around the coastline.
It might be good to actually, this might be an investment opportunity for mountainside acreage.
Now, as I hope people realize, the tide variance and sea level rise is not a constant thing all around the world. Different coastlines, different parts of the same coastline have different tidal variants because of things like lunar attraction, spin of the Earth. You know, we're wider in the middle than we are at the poles. You know, things like this. General planetary science tells us these things.
Example. Down in, here in Florida, it's, what, a few feet that the tide moves horizontally across the ground. Up in Maine, where I used to spend summers and everything, that's about a quarter mile.
Yeah. Big, long expanse.
And height. The height difference here is like a foot or two. Up there is like 10 feet or more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot.
So there's big differences. Of course, also up in Maine, you got cliffs and things like that. Down here, we just have long stretches of beach and then dunes.
Huge tracts of land.
Yeah.
Huge.
So, let's see. That will mean the sea level's rising by as much as 13 meters, leading to massive coastal floodings, of course.
It's over 36 feet.
Yeah, that's
up to.
Up to. So in certain areas,
36 feet rise in sea level would be bad.
Yeah, in certain areas, that's going to be super bad. Yeah, I will certainly be looking for more northerly real estate options at that point.
More center land mass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at 70-something feet here in the central...
Well, no, I would leave Florida, because as the world continues to warm, it's just not going to be a pleasant place to be. You know, if I want the same climate here, I'll have to move north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just how it's going to be. Actually, one of our book picks, the Greg Mendel trilogy from Peter F. Hamilton, deals a little bit with an Earth after the warming.
Mm.
So it takes place in that kind of post-ecological apocalypse kind of environment, which was really interesting and foreshadowing, I'm afraid.
Well, you know.
What can we do to cool down the planet?
Stop breathing.
Cause a volcano to erupt?
Kill all the cows?
That's the normal means of the Earth rapidly cooling anyway.
Yeah.
Ice from Haley's Comet.
But we do- oh jeez. But we don't want to get cold too quickly.
Because yeah. That is also bad.
That's also bad.
Yeah, ice ages are also bad for habitability of the planet.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're coming out of one, so the planet's supposed to be getting warmer.
Yeah, technically we're in one now. Yeah. Now, yeah. There's a lot of different thoughts on how to cool off the planet, how to try and sequester carbon and things like that. Of course, the biggest thing is we need to stop burning more carbon. So we need to stop that.
Yeah, big oil.
Much, we need to stop it before we can even begin to reverse it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need carbon neutral, we need carbon negative. And that's simply not on the horizon for anybody.
No.
Apparently, though, in some news, it would appear that, I'm not sure where I saw it today, but it seems the grand old party is actually afraid of climate change.
Really?
That it's actually starting to affect them, that they're thinking about doing something, because it's affecting things like oil production. It's hitting them in the pocketbook. So now they have to realize that, oh yeah, maybe that's a thing.
Now they have to admit they've been lying for 20 years?
No, they'll never admit to that.
No, they're going to try to shut down the government, actually, about that.
Ah, yes. I suppose we should move on to governmental things. Let's see. No, we're not going to talk about that yet.
Item two.
Yes. Nope.
Yes. Reid. White House warned GOP not to shut down the government again.
Let's see. Obviously a political play. They're planning to do it in around November time frame.
Yeah.
As usual, yes.
Obviously for the election.
Obviously.
The
effect that they believe they can get out of it.
Let's see. From the Maddow blog, from written by Steve Bannon, to cite it properly, the issue in this case has nothing to do with Obamacare, spending cuts, the national debt, or entitlements, but rather climate change. Some GOP lawmakers want to add provisions to an appropriations bill. Of course, let's just add more fat to them. That would kill the Environmental Protection Agency's new measures to regulate carbon pollution. The idea, of course, would be to create a showdown. Either Democrats pass the spending bill that blocks President Obama's climate agenda, or the spending bill dies and part of the government shuts down a month before Election Day. Gee, that's not planning things, is it? A variety of Republican climate deniers in the Senate quickly endorsed the strategy. Shocking, right? The White House wasn't amused. The White House fired a warning shot to Republican senators on Wednesday after several of them expressed interest in using a multi-pass government funding bill to block the Obama administration's environmental regulations. Quote, if Republicans want to repeal their government shutdown play, repeat their government shutdown play to protect the profits of big polluters, they're placing a pretty risky bet. The White House official, who wasn't authorized to discuss the matter on the record, told them. I'm not authorized to say this, but boy, that's risky. let's see. We've had enough sequestrations and government shutdowns that I hope my Republican colleagues aren't headed in that direction again, given the importance of appropriations legislation and the need to keep our government operating. Yeah. It's that they're just a bunch of dicks.
Do they get paid?
Of course they get. Oh yeah.
The senators and congressmen sure do. The people who are working for those departments that get shut down, they don't get paid.
Yeah, they shouldn't get paid either.
Well, of course they shouldn't, but
they do.
Who is in charge of passing the payroll for Congress? Congress.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Don, increase the gain on your mic.
All right.
You're a little low. We can't hear you and Ann.
Better? All right.
Whoa, yes. Maybe a little too much. But yeah, it's good.
Sometimes it talks.
Okay. Whoa. That was too much.
Don't eat the mic.
That was too much. Okay. We'll get the sweet spot eventually.
Okay.
Phrasing, boom.
Phrasing.
okay.
So this is the strategy of the Grand Ole Party is to basically extort their way out of the government. To shut everything down, throw a tantrum, and if you don't agree to their terms, then they basically take everyone's balls and go home.
Yep.
I like my balls, though.
Sounds like a 2-year-old.
That's exactly what I said. sound like a kindergartner on the playground.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Boehner's going for this again. You know, this didn't end well for him last time.
As much as they tried to spin it, the Republican Party ended up taking the blame. The majority of Americans knew whose fault it was and pointed the finger. And they think they're going to get away with it this time? We're already watching.
And on top of that, if you watch Fox News, the growing trend, which makes me feel like I'm living in an alternate reality somehow, I've shifted to some place where they aren't the sworn allies of the GOP, has been criticizing Tea Party and GOP members for their actions and saying things like, hey, you guys should work together. You know, why are you doing this? That's another story. But it's like, I don't see this ending well for them at all. Like, this is probably the worst possible time to do this.
Well, they have some other things that they're working on, like impeaching the president. The South Dakota Republican Party passed a resolution over the weekend calling for the impeachment of the president. Obama has, quote, violated his oath of office in numerous ways, the resolution cites. His controversial decision to trade 5 Taliban prisoners for U.S. Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl and recent carbon emissions regulations, according to a report by the Argus Leader. I've got a thick book of impeachable offenses of the president, said Alan Ernra, the Tea Party activist and chiropractor from Sioux Falls who sponsored the resolution. Delegates to the South Dakota Republican Party convention voted 191 to 176. So at least the vote was close. Yeah, so basically they're saying that, no, you can't protect the environment and actually get things done. And for that that terrible offense of actually doing your job, we're going to impeach you.
Yeah, here's what the rules actually say. The president, vice president, all civil officers of the United States who may be impeached may be removed only for treason, bribery, or other high crimes. Somehow I don't think he's committed treason. He hasn't sold us out to a foreign power.
Well, now you know. Where did you get that from? Because apparently Mr. Boehner, he wrote a memo because he's suing Obama. And basically that's
We're not sure for what, though.
Well,
yeah. He won't fucking say.
Well, this is the first steps towards a larger policy of actually getting the impeachment process going. So basically by getting the law involved. And he released this memo on June 25th. It's fairly long. I'm not going to read it all to save you all. But it's available out on Roll Call if you want to go look. I'll put a link in the show notes. He says, under our system of government, the judicial branch has the power to resolve disputes between the executive and the legislative branches. Where there is a failure on the part of the president to faithfully execute the law, the House has the authority to challenge his failure in the judicial branch by filing suit in federal court in situations in which, and then he gives bullet points, there is no one else who can challenge the president's failure and harm is being done to the general welfare and trust in faithful execution of our laws. There is no legislative remedy, and there is explicit House authorization for the lawsuit through a vote authorizing the litigation against the president's failure. That doesn't exactly sound like the grounds for impeachment.
No, doesn't sound like it at all. It sounds like he's butthurt that they keep losing because, well. Hey, what do you know? When you go poll the American public, something like – what is it? It's more than 90% of us now think that Congress is full of shit. Their approval rating is in the single digits.
It is in single digits, and that's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, the thing that gets me is people are like, oh, impeach him now, impeach him now, impeach him now. Impeachment is just a proceeding of which it is possible nothing will be done.
Yeah. kind of like what happened with Clinton.
Clinton's laid in the Oval Office.
Sleeping with his secretary. He's a douchebag. Didn't commit treason.
No, but they did actually manage to impeach him, and he was still president.
Yeah.
So it didn't go anywhere.
He didn't actually commit an impeachable offense.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that Boehner's going the lawsuit route, because
he's butthurt. That's all it
well,
is.
Well, yeah. I think it'll look better to – or maybe he's thinking – just trying to get into his line of thought here, why sue, which everybody that I know on the right side of the aisle typically looks at, oh, damn, liberals sue for everything. And then here we go. His decision-making process is I'm going to sue the president for
what
I'm upset about him doing.
Well, yeah. Well, obviously, it's really just that Boehner and his group of cronies across the board have been blocking anything that the president has been trying to do, period. That is – and they've basically been on the record that that is their policy. If he wants it, deny it.
Yeah.
I think we've just broke and –
they're the ones not doing their job. They're not voting. They're not voting based on the issue. They're voting because it's an Obama policy.
Yeah. Every vote that they've been doing recently has shown that. It's like they're voting against stuff that they would like.
They voted against equal work, equal pay. They voted against better benefits for veterans. They voted against all this stuff that should be on their docket. They voted against it. Why? Because President Obama said he liked it.
Yeah. And they've gone the step further of making it impossible for anyone other than them to bring something to vote.
Yeah.
They've literally changed the rules of how things work. But anyway, Obama did a very recent interview that responded to Boehner's lawsuit. And so let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
You've got Speaker Boehner talking about suing you for executive actions that he says has crossed the line. He says, we elected a president, we didn't elect a monarch or king.
Well, you notice that he didn't specifically say what exactly he was objecting to. I'm not going to apologize for trying to do something while they're doing nothing.
Even if you get sued.
You know, the suit is a stunt. But what I've told Speaker Boehner directly is, if you're really concerned about me taking too many executive actions, why don't you try getting something done through Congress? The majority of American people want to see immigration reform done. We had a bipartisan bill through the Senate, and you're going to squawk if I try to fix some parts of it administratively that are within my authority while you are not doing anything?
And that's why he's the president.
Ouch.
And that's why he's the president.
That's so, why I would vote for that man forever.
Yeah, he's getting things done, and really the amazing thing is he really hasn't done that many executive orders. They're making
easy. He's one of the fewest.
He's not the fewest, but he's low.
Low
The Republican the Republican poster boy, W, he did more than Obama did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're not bringing that point up.
No. That,
no.
Of course,
and oh, God, how many did Reagan do?
This is the funny thing, though. You know, every time I get into a debate with the true hardcore right wing, they always say, you're always blaming Bush. You're always blaming Bush. Bush did a lot of shit.
He's a great example.
Sure that those 8 years didn't happen, you know, they happened. Here's a bullet point list of notable events that occurred in those 8 years that affect us to this day that we still have to work out. You know, I'm sorry that I don't ignore large splotches of reality like 8 years of it. It doesn't make my point any less valid.
It's written history. It's there. We can go audit it. It's right there.
We pick on him a lot, but he is extremely pick-onable.
I pulled up a list. Thank you, Wikipedia.
All right, Wiki.
Barack Obama, 180. W, 291.
Yo.
Clinton, 364. George, the original George Bush, 166. I mean, Ronald Reagan, 381.
Should be noted that the original George H.W., I think, only served one term.
Yeah, he was only a four-year.
Yeah.
Now, that's a man who's...
6 years in, only beats him by 20.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Roosevelt.
Oh.
Here's something. Roosevelt.
FDR,
3,522.
Yeah.
He was the man who got us out of the depression.
Yeah, he was averaging a little more than one a day.
Yeah.
to get us out of the Great Depression.
Yeah. I believe the statistic was like 1.12 or something for FDR. And for Obama so far, it's been 0.09 per day.
Per day.
Yeah.
So... take that. It's math. Those are numbers. Go ahead and somehow try to spin them.
You get out of here with your commie math.
Yeah, somebody posted this thing. We're going to start investigating all these scandals and whatnot. And I'm like, well, it's about damn time you did something more than spew hot air about all the scandals that are impeachable offenses purportedly by Obama. You know, if this is really a big deal, you're gaining nothing by just saying this is a big deal. Fucking do something.
Yeah, go ahead and change it, you know?
Yeah. There's nothing stopping you. And you know what? I could be wrong. Maybe they are a bigger deal than I think. Maybe Benghazi is a bigger deal than 9/11.
But somehow I don't think so.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Anybody that thinks that should really reevaluate their entire life.
Look at your life. Look at your choices.
Because you're making bad ones.
What are you doing? What?
Well,
what,
you know,
what are you doing?
It took 2 years to apprehend this guy that you know planned the attacks on the embassy in Benghazi, Libya. But it only took us like 3,560 days to get bin Laden. Days versus years, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp.
So, let's stay in the wheelhouse of presidential powers here and see what... and see what else the president has been up to.
Circus.
President Barack Obama on Monday said the United States should join the rest of the industrialized world and offer paid leave for mothers of newborns. Many women can't even get a paid day off to give birth. Now, that's a pretty low bar. That we should be able to take care of, he said.
I shouldn't laugh. That's fucking terrible.
It is.
Honestly, Obama's a funny guy. He's got really good delivery. He's a very good public speaker, obviously. So the president is touting paid maternity in the midst of midterm election campaigns, focused on women voters. Obviously we need some women voters to come out there and actually, vote their mind. Please do.
Yes, please vote or else wrinkled 90-year-old men are going to make decisions about your vagina for you.
And we ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Obama said, if France can figure this out, we can figure this out.
That's fire.
And then, of course, we have one of our senators here from the great state of Florida, dick of the nation, Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
Oh, good.
Potential 2016 presidential candidate, mind you.
Yes, please.
Just want to, oh, God. he outlined his vision Wednesday for how modern conservative reforms can help bring the American dream within reach of millions of single mothers, young Americans, and working families. Telling federal agencies to do what they're already supposed to do and endorsing partisan legislation that will never pass is not the sort of bold, innovative leadership we need. They're not
so
doing what they're paid to do.
Innovative leadership. We just need a guy who's going to go through the motions of leadership.
Right, yes.
Which we already have. Hey.
And hey, perhaps somebody like that can't actually speak and is fumbling with a water bottle. I think that's so far the image that I have of Rubio over and over and over in my head.
The dry mouth heard round the world.
Yeah. Terrible case of dry mouth. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Let's see.
He's not really enigmatic.
No. Representative Rosa DeLauro, I'm terribly sorry for butchering names, she's introduced legislation that would provide up to 12 weeks of paid leave through a fund in the Social Security Administration, paid for by contributions from employees and employers of 0.2% of wages. She said she has personally encouraged the president to back it despite his tax pledge. We're talking about 2 cents for every $10. She said in an interview at the summit, she said, without such a fund, 8 out of 10 workers can't take advantage of their right for family leave because they can't afford it. And
yes,
having...
But Social Security is failing, right? I seem to remember the grand old party telling me that.
If you pillage all the money out of a system, then yes, it will fail.
Yeah. If you steal it to go to war for no reason, then yeah, no wonder.
They've basically taken loans against Social Security.
Yeah,
we didn't steal it to go to war for no reason. We stole it to get rid of Osama bin Laden. Wait, he wasn't there. No, we went in for the weapons of mass destruction.
That didn't exist.
Those weren't quite there. We built a democracy that cannot fail.
Iraq thing. Yeah. Actually, if you want to talk about Iraq thing, Obama also had something to say about that.
Oh.
If we want to go back over to the sandbox.
Please, dear God,
I still like to think that ISIS is run by a guy named Archer. That's just...
I'll leave the Iraq part of that interview alone. But there was a lot of bits, a lot of ground was covered in that particular interview. Immigration reform, Iraq, it was a good interview, basically. A lot of ground. Having had to take the Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA, to have two children, it's pretty shitty. It doesn't really work. You have to – let's see. We had to plan way ahead, and we got Aflac to basically pay for – it's that rider insurance that pays you if you're hospitalized, pays you if you're that. So basically we milked it because we already knew that we were going to have hospital days and things like that. So if you can, if you're planning on having a family, here's my advice to you. It takes – okay? Inside baseball action here. Okay. So you're planning on having kids. Plan a year in advance. Get Aflac or one of these things because typically you have to have it a year in advance. You've already had to be paying a year in advance before they'll pay out on something like maternity. So go ahead and do that. You know, also price around to the hospitals in your area. Figure out which one you want to go to. Get associated with a OBGYN that is associated with that hospital that you want to go to. Figure out how they work things. And basically, do all the research. If you want to have a family, put some time into pre-planning all that. Because it will help you in the end. Because I'll tell you this, having a baby ain't fucking cheap. That's all there is to it. Save up. And then it never gets cheaper either. So, that's my advice to you. Now, let's move on.
Let's move on
you
to something
like you're promoting Planned Parenthood.
Oh, Planned Parenthood. Yeah, that's a great organization because they help you plan. Parenthood. Kind of says it right there. Plan your families. It will save you and them. Because if you go into things without a plan, then you get what you deserve. Really.
Yeah.
You definitely get what you deserve.
Some people have mistakes.
Yeah.
16 and pregnant. Ba-boom.
Well, that's what the birth control and all that stuff is for, so do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you really can't afford it, well, you should seriously consider whether you actually believe that kid is alive, because they have ways of removing that expense. It's a thing you could do.
It is a thing. It is
a thing.
And there's very many ways to look at it. And obviously, it all depends on where your personal allegiances
Not always. Something like 25%. I'm not going to quote the statistic, but there's a statistic out there that there's a number of women who have abortions that have actively picketed the abortion clinic where they go.
Yes. And also predominantly red states that are lower income and, you know, very Republican and very anti-abortion have higher abortion rates than all the other blue states. I'm sorry. They're just statistics. Maybe I'm drawing parallels where they're not supposed to be or something.
I think this is one of those cases where correlation does equal causation.
Yeah, I think we can kind of see a link there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of the problem there is what you don't know can hurt you.
Yes. And
especially in regards to sex, which is going to happen. We are mammals.
Yeah.
It's a pleasurable act.
Here's something
people
that
raging hormones will take part in it.
It doesn't matter what you do. I know that there are Republicans out there thinking if we can just
get the teenagers to stop
more
fucking.
Scare tactic, teenagers will never have sex again. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. Okay, there's some sects out there. Sects of religion.
Sects out there?
Yeah.
You said it right.
There's some divisions of sects of religions that don't even think that masturbation is something that you should do. Because
Oh my god, wait,
literally they call it self self rape.
That thing that looks like a waterboarding. Yeah, it's the Velcro thing.
That was a joke.
Yes,
that was a joke. That was from a joke site.
A little hoax, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at this thing, I'm thinking to myself, somebody would actually do this. This is
there are those people. Yes.
There are people this crazy.
So but, what is it? It's a way to masturbate without your hand?
No, it's an anti-masturbation kit.
It's an anti-masturbation board that you attach your kid to, and it holds their arms straight out like they're on a crucifix.
And it prevents them from doing naughty things to themselves.
I'm finding it. I'm going to link it.
They call
in
it
the chat right now.
I have heard this before this, but it was also in the little fine text on that meme. They call it self-rape.
Yes.
Okay.
it prevents your kids from raping themselves.
Yeah.
it is just absurd, is what it is.
So.
Yeah.
That's just.
That's so terrible. Even the look on the kid's face.
These are the things that you get into when you have a dogmatic practice that wants to control every little aspect of your sexuality, of your life.
And they wonder why church membership and attendance is going down. Well, maybe because people are tired of being told what to do.
I think somebody figured out something better to do on Sunday morning.
I actually believe that it's because of two things. Because of the internet.
Holy shit.
Oh, I think they found it.
We have to put this on the screen. What the hell, dude?
That's like...
I think they found it.
A straitjacket. What are you...
Yeah.
It's a fucking torture device.
Go ahead and screen share. Go ahead.
Oh, God.
Holy
I got you.
Okay, you got it? Because I need
I got it.
Screen share that shit. Yes, look at that thing. Look at that in all of its glory.
It is called the Anti-Masturbation Cross. Safely train your child to keep their hands off their dangerous sin zones. Papoose Cross and Arm Immobilizer work together to safely secure a self-raping child. 5+ years. Adjustable canvas straps with Velcro, adjustable head strap, incorporated into backboard, optional arm immobilizing accessory slides, underboard for firm spread eagle position. www.stopmasturbationnow.org.
Oh my god.
Seriously, it looks like they're about to waterboard that kid.
It would be perfect for waterboarding, yes. Also available in full-size Guantanamo Bay edition.
How did I miss that? How did I miss that the first time I looked at it?
It doesn't say that. I just added that.
It should say it.
It should say
it. It should.
It should. It really should.
It should.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's...
Ring, let me tell you.
So that's... Mean? That's all sorts of glorious.
Firm spread eagle position?
Right, yeah. To prevent the self-rape.
Just let it happen.
Yeah, it's just to prevent all the self-rape.
Because that's not damaging to children's
mentality. No, no. So, you're not allowed to touch yourself. Remember, if you shake it more than 3 times, you're playing with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think there's a song that goes something like that.
It's terrible.
There is. Oh, what the fuck?
But, okay,
so... I don't even remember now.
Not to pick on the Catholics, but I'm going to pick on the Catholics.
I think it was Green Day. I think it was a Green Day song.
I don't remember.
Yeah. It might have been Green Day. So, yes, picking on the Catholics because they say that masturbation is bad. They say that an abstinence-only sex education is the only sex education to provide. They also say that condoms are a tool of the devil and are worse than AIDS. Okay?
Wow.
And they also shuttle and safeguard, you know, pedophile priests all over the place and have a long history of doing this. So the...
Correlation?
I would say that the institution...
Something correlation causation.
Yeah, I would say that perhaps the organization may be a little morally bankrupt in... where it involves sexuality, human sexuality. And no one should listen to that anymore. Science says, look, we've figured out ways to protect you from having a baby. If you don't want to have a baby, then don't have one. It's fairly simple. Here's how to do that.
The original usage of condoms was to stop the spread of syphilis several thousand years ago.
Yeah, well, that's also because...
It didn't have to do with birth control. It was just about, you know, I don't want to get sick and die from a disease that's going to eat my brain.
Well, several thousand years ago, also, most people didn't survive childhood. So having more children was the ideal thing to do to progress your family.
Right.
And you needed people to work on your farm or whatever you did for a living to get food for everybody.
Yeah,
but we're reaching a point now where we're going to start having difficulties finding fresh water and food for
We're moving into the opposite direction. There are now more people than we know what to do with.
Yeah, well, yeah. The fact that I believe China
we're not running
is
out anytime soon.
Yeah, we're good.
I think China is finally, you know, backing off on their limit of one child per family.
Yeah,
limitation.
Finally, after like 30 years of doing this.
Yeah, but was that really a bad idea?
No, it wasn't. They did it because it was a good idea.
Yeah.
There's too many people in China.
They're having trouble feeding their population, so.
Yeah. So, not to say that the communist China thing was good or bad, but, you know, maybe there are some good ideas that we can learn a thing or two from that and kind of...
Well,
get that
even
idea.
A broken clock is right twice a day. You know?
Yes, indeed. I have noticed a propensity of, and again, correlation causation, maybe not, but lower income, lower class families tend to have more children than higher educated, higher earning families.
Are they bored?
They also tend to be the families that are more likely to be religious, specifically Catholic. What's that about?
Well, the Catholics, they've got their own thing. But It does seem to be
birth control.
They don't like the birth control. No, that's against God's will.
You're not supposed to chew it. That's the first problem.
Well, there's your problem.
There's
your problem right there.
Every sperm is needed in your neighborhood.
You know, if you watch that video long enough, the kids in the background when they're in the Protestant home, they just start over. They've only got like 30 kids and they just cycle through the background.
That's great.
Watch it again sometime.
Oh, it's always on the rotation list. So So speaking of countries and things that do good or bad and things like that, well, apparently there's now a good country index.
Okay. There's a list for that.
There's a list for this. Again, you know, we went ahead and we've done some metrics.
Ireland.
And
thanks, Internet.
Apparently, Ireland ranks very high. The USA, not so much.
No,
not so much.
Is that really a surprise to anybody at this virtual table?
In the Good Country Index, really what we're looking at is prosperity and equality. So being good to one another, essentially, and, you know, a free and equal society. Ireland ranks number one. Switzerland, number two. Finland, number three. Sweden, number four. Belgium, number five.
Man, the Vikings know what they're doing.
Yeah. They're now, again, correlation, causation. Most of these are fairly secular nations.
Mm-hmm.
Ireland, not so much. Very Catholic.
They got the whole IRA thing going on. It's,
yeah.
It's,
however,
it's a big thing.
However, Ireland...
They have a lot of pubs.
They also have a lot of beer. For
Ireland has lots of Guinness and lots of also high-tech industries. I'm not sure if you knew that about Ireland. But they make an awful lot of electronics. High-grade electronics are born in Ireland. Kind of interesting on that. But yeah, the USA did not make that list. It did not make the top 10.
Over 22.
I mean, Korea has faster internet than we do.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
Korea does.
Well,
does have,
you know, they got to get their StarCraft.
Yeah. Yeah, they're big on that. You can go take a look at all this information at www.goodcountry.org. And there's some interesting statistics there. I'm not saying that they're necessarily really hyper accurate or anything because, well, these surveys
it's all
are
subjective.
Well, yeah. Who did they get to answer these surveys? I always ask that question because they never ask me.
I actually got a phone call from a political survey one time.
What?
I got one, and then they never called me again.
Yeah, they didn't want to. I mean, you talk about leading questions.
I called that bitch out every time too, and I kept her on the phone for probably 3 hours.
Three hours?
Yes. Because they're not allowed to hang up. They're not allowed to hang up as long as you are answering their questions, and as long as you don't swear.
Oh,
you can't cuss them out. But as long as you're answering their questions, they can't hang up. They're not allowed. So I just wasted her whole day.
And they're never, ever going to call you
they're
back.
They're never
going to
call me again.
Oh, I'm certain that she didn't like the answers that I gave. but the questions were like, knowing this about Obama, do you still support him?
Yes. No, you don't have an agenda at all.
But even if blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because I don't agree with any of that shit you just said.
Pretty much.
Now, what they were saying here is, how did you determine which data sets to use? And the real answer is, there's not a lot of choice. There simply isn't all that much good data on every country on Earth available. To collect reliable data on one country, on something like this, on like its number of migrants, is a gigantic task requiring hundreds of people and thousands of hours to collect. Trying to do that for 200-odd countries is really an enormous piece of work. The 35 sets they used are probably half of the good, robust data sets that are actually available in the world. Yeah. So They were able to at least squeak out some interesting information. Good, bad, indifferent. At least it's an interesting indicator of how the various nations around the world are stacking up. And you can definitely pull a lot of interesting data out of these, whether it's relevant to what you're looking for or not.
So, thought-provoking, at the very least.
It is quite just thought-provoking.
I'm just curious if in the next major election, we have an election coming up.
Election.
The major election. Yes. In two more years from now. If I think it was JetBlue, they offered a one-way ticket prize to people who didn't like the turnout of the election.
That's nice.
So you could go to like a country of your choice one way if the election didn't go the way you wanted, but you had to sign up beforehand before the election actually happened.
Nice.
That's so weird.
It was a thing. It happened. I was like, I can't believe I'm reading this. But
there was a lot of rabble saying, if so and so gets elected, I'm leaving the country. And it was on either side.
Nobody did.
It was on either side. Yeah, nobody's going to leave because of that.
And nobody did.
Yeah, the president, well, except for the
some people.
Yeah,
there was figures on this, and I actually looked it up. It wasn't for the last election that I saw, but it was for the first time Obama got elected. We actually had fewer people emigrating from the country. The opposite of immigrating, leaving to go be resident of another country, we had fewer people leave the country that year than we had in the previous the previous year,
yeah,
which wasn't an election year. So,
of course, there were probably also a great deal of other factors, like, you know, economic values and whether or not it was even a viable option for most people, which it isn't.
Yeah, but it's just funny when you actually look at the numbers. Nobody ever actually leaves, and it's mostly because the other countries have much stricter immigration requirements.
They have stricter immigration requirements.
They don't let just anybody in.
They have higher tax rates.
Yeah.
There's a lot of developed countries have a 50% tax rate. People don't realize that. And then you go over there and you're like, shut up, I'm rich.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's because they have things like socialized medicine and all of this really
mass
good
transport.
Stuff. Yeah, and you know trains that run on time and all this really good stuff that America doesn't have. You got to pay for it.
So you know what country I'm never going to emigrate to?
Pick one in Africa.
How about Nigeria?
The one with the evil outlook.
Yeah.
Well, we got a couple things.
Talk about leading the question after reading the articles. I should have called that one.
Hey,
okay.
Sometimes I pay attention.
There's a couple things going on in Africa. Terrible, terrible, horrible, horrible things. Okay. So, one, there's Ebola. Which we'll get right back to here in a second. But speaking of Nigeria and of places that I'd want to go and of places that are good for many things, Nigeria is not it. Mubarak Bala was being held against his will at the hospital after his Muslim family took him there. The hospital said it was treating Mr. Bala, who's 29, for a, quote, challenging psychological condition. Would anyone care to guess what his challenging psychological condition is?
Atheism.
He was an atheist.
I believe he still is an atheist, because I believe he's still in the hospital.
Yes.
The international
continue until his atheism improves.
Exactly. The International Humanist and Ethical Union, the IHEU, says that when Mr. Bala told relatives he did not believe in God, they asked a doctor if he was mentally ill. And despite being told that he was not unwell, Mr. Bala's family then went to a second doctor who declared that his atheism was a side effect of suffering a personality change. He's a chemical engineering graduate, and he was forcibly committed to a psychiatric ward.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's time to leave.
Yeah.
Time to leave. Time to get out of that country.
And apparently whatever drugs they're giving him, it's really causing kind of a downward spiral in his mentality and psychological abilities.
Well, that's what happens when you give psych meds to someone who's not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not in this article, but I am following.
Chemically balanced to begin with. Trying to chemically balance you only fucks you up.
Yeah. I'm in many of these. I'm in many of these atheist circles, and I hear stories like this too often. And I've actually heard of this one in particular. And yeah, essentially he's having to be snuck a phone to even contact anyone. Like, his mother is sneaking it in. And then, of course, if anybody finds it, they, you know, it's immediately taken away. His father has basically ostracized him completely. Kano, the state in Nigeria where this is all happening, adopted Islamic Sharia law in 2000. So this is basically he's a full-on apostate, and that is a – if he was not being treated for mental illness, he would probably simply be executed.
Yeah, probably.
This is why living in a theocracy is not a good thing for most people.
Yeah.
No, let's not do that.
Because if you don't agree with the religion of the government, whoever that government might be, and heresy becomes a crime, you know, maybe if you're Catholic, you're cool in this country because there's a lot of Catholics. But if you're Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, etc., Seventh-day Adventist, whatever other flavor.
Well, no, no, no. Catholic. If you're Christian, then the Boko Haram are going to come in and kill you.
Yeah.
Pretty much done. If you, like, have... Yeah, if you've got the cross there and you're protesting, that, you know, proclaiming that you're a Christian in any way, shape, or form, and not following Allah, then, yeah, you're basically going to be beheaded.
You're a heretic and you're dead.
Yeah. No, if
so
ands or buts about it.
So it's better that he's an atheist, because this is just a condition that they can fix.
Yeah, because heretics aren't people, so killing them is not murder.
Right, yeah. You're simply doing God's will. It said it in the book.
It said it in the book that was written by some dude 500 years after Christ.
I'm going to write a book.
Yeah. Like L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah.
We could talk about Scientology.
That's where the real money is, man.
It is. He said it himself. If you want to get rich, start a religion. So it's a terrible situation over there, and one that is, it could be, not even in an alternative universe kind of way, it could start to happen more in the United States. Because there's a funny thing. If you looked at Sharia law, which is basically all law that is based on the Quran, and you edited out things that refer to Islam, and you just substitute things like Christianity, it would pass in this country.
It's ridiculous.
Because there was one of these Christian fundamentalist radio hosts had a caller. He called in, and he basically made that claim that, you know, hey, Sharia law, they don't like abortion. They want, you know, that women in their place, they want this, they want that. You know, that I think we should have that here. And the radio host did not argue the point.
Of course not, because they're psychotic.
So I really, if anything, I fully support the separation of church and state. You can believe what you want, but do not make laws on it, please.
You can believe what you want, but keep it in your pants.
Well, here's one of my points of contention, and I think it's a kind of a system-level change that I would like to see, is that rather than have the President of the United States be the final signer of law, I think the Supreme Court should be the final signer of law and do an actual review of, is this constitutional to begin with?
No.
And actually have that argument up front rather than having to fight it out later. Because
I like that in
by
principle.
By the time they actually hear something, a shitload of damage can happen.
I like that in principle.
in theory, that's a great idea. In practice, that's not going to work because the people on the bench have been appointed for life, and they're all a bunch of Bible thumping douchebags.
Five is all they need. It's five Catholics, three Jews,
It's six Catholics.
Yeah, six Catholics and three Jews.
And then three Jews.
Yeah.
It's five right wing douchebags, and five is all they need.
Yeah. It is not a representative sample of the people.
It's not.
That's the bottom line. It is not. So laws still need to kind of go through the way they are, and we need to get the old wood cut away.
Said wood.
Literally.
I did say wood.
Withered, wrinkled wood out of there.
Yeah. Old. It's like a piece of flotsam.
The guy with the old balls.
Wow. So, Papua New Guinea.
How do you know if they're old?
You just look what they're attached to.
You have to ask.
Past their expiration date.
Wow. We must be getting to the punch drunk time of the show. Okay. Let's move along. Nothing to see here. We're moving on to Liberia. Staying in Africa, there's a deadly Ebola virus outbreak in West Africa. It hit unprecedented proportions. There have been 567 cases and about 350 deaths since March.
That's higher than 50% mortality rate.
Ebola sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Ebola is fucking lethal. Even in a first world country, that's
nasty shit.
People are traveling without realizing they're carrying the deadly virus, and it takes between 2 and 21 days after exposure for someone to feel sick.
How long until they're contagious?
They're contagious from the moment it gets in their bloodstream, I believe.
Probably nearly immediately. That or the very minute that they feel sick. Yeah. Ebola is a violent killer. The symptoms at first mimic the flu, headache, fever, fatigue. What comes next sounds like something out of a horror movie. Significant diarrhea and vomiting, while the virus shuts off the blood's ability to clot. As a result, patients often suffer internal and external hemorrhaging, and many die in an average of 10 days.
Yeah. Ow, there's this awesome thing, and by awesome I mean awful thing that happens when you lose a lot of blood. It's called hemorrhagic shock. Your body simply cannot deal with losing that volume of blood, and everything just kind of freezes and rots.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, also with that much blood loss, your brain just kind of stops working, and
brain motion.
Actually, really, if you've lost that much blood and you're going into hemorrhagic shock, that might be the best overall death case in Ebola.
Yeah.
that might be the quickest way.
Oh, it's really nasty. Even if you do manage to survive the horrific blood loss, you've still got dysentery. Lol, that's super diarrhea.
Super diarrhea. Yeah. Significant amounts of diarrhea and vomiting. That's so medical.
Hey, that's what dysentery is, man. Yeah. It's super diarrhea.
Now, since March, Doctors Without Borders, which is a wonderful organization, has sent more than 300 staff members and 40 tons of equipment and supplies to the region to help fight the epidemic, and it's still not enough.
I would also like to point out that these guys, there's no real protection against Ebola. There's no perfect immunity. There's not really a vaccine for it. So these guys are risking getting it and dying themselves. That's how awesome these guys are.
The good news is that Ebola isn't as easily spread as one may think. A patient isn't contagious, meaning they can't spread the virus to other people until they're already showing symptoms. So, you've got a couple days.
That's good.
We were curious about that. Yeah. Inside the isolation treatment areas in Conquery, doctors focus on keeping the patients hydrated with IV drips and other liquid nutrients. These little tent cities, if you've ever seen the movie Outbreak or Contagion or Andromeda Strain, yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. Yeah.
It's like that.
It's bad. It is just bad, 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 bad.
I'm going to read this part. There is no cure or vaccine to treat Ebola, which we covered, but MSF has shown it doesn't have to be a death sentence if it's treated early. Ebola typically kills 90% of patients. This outbreak, the death rate has dropped to roughly 60%. So,
hey, that's
catching it early, they can improve your chances by a full 30%.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And healthcare workers dress in scrubs and thick white rubber boots, blue latex gloves, thick yellow impermeable suits. They're wearing hazmat gear. Okay.
Yeah.
They're followed by a mask, then a white hood with another mask built into it, and a pair of large clear goggles that go over the hood, and then a large white apron. They are very serious about not coming in actual fluid
they
contact.
They're in layers. Mm-hmm. And remember, they're in Africa, so it's balls hot out there.
Yeah, yeah. And they're basically going through kind of a clean room scenario where they basically get doused with water on the way in and on the way out.
Yeah. Humans can be infected by other humans if they come in contact with bodily fluids from an infected person or contaminated objects from infected persons.
Yeah, and it's something stupidly low, like 10 cc's of fluid is enough to do it.
Humans can also be exposed to the virus, for example, by butchering infected animals.
That's typically how it begins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how these outbreaks typically begin. And of course, you get a where do the animals then get the infection? They're drinking from water sources that are then having, you know, upstream fecal matter. That river is being used from everything from clean drinking water to bodily cleansing and latrine duty. So the well's been tainted, and it affects everything. So again, it in many cases comes down to where are they getting their clean water from, and can they get a better source of water? And, you know, just, it's amazing how much our life expectancy has gone up as we simply did things like bathing and having better hygiene. Sanitation.
Oh, sanitation.
Did marvelous things for raising our life expectancy.
Well, the simple stuff like, you know, wash your hands before and after you handle meat.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. Don't shit where you sleep. You know, various things like that. Yeah. Things that we've seen animals do, you know, they kind of segregate those things.
really should pay more attention to Mother Nature. They're really good at surviving. They've done it for millions of years.
They used to throw their pots of shit out the window into the street, and you would walk out in the street and shit.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yep. Yes. It happened so often there were terms for that.
Like, I believe it was Egypt has above ground sewage. In Cairo, one of my buddies who was in the military got stationed out there was telling me about this, and there would be floods in the city, and so everything came up because it was just right there anyway.
I mean, was it in Brazil where they're holding the World Cup? At least one of the cities that they're holding it in, 50% of the population doesn't have running water.
Yeah, there's been. I saw those even out on the boat. I saw those news articles being shown because they would show it in the middle of the World Cup.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow.
And this is currently going on, and
Brazil is essentially a metropolis shanty town.
Yeah,
really.
Big cities. I had a coworker who went down there, and he loved Brazil, but there's a lot of two-sidedness. Very wealthy or fairly wealthy, and
they were
poverty.
When the World Cup was going to be offered to them, they were going through a long process of just rebuilding enough infrastructure to have it.
Yep.
Not even to, you know, make things nice. No, just to bring it up to where power could be safely delivered. They had to rewire everything. It was horrible. I saw this on Discovery Channel. For you know, they had entire episodes just on you know restringing the horribly maintained electric grid.
And they rewired it only to these stadiums.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was direct shots, and that was it.
Something something Russia something something Olympics.
Oh yeah.
I feel like we've seen this before.
Scorchy, yeah. They just scorched by. Yeah, it's terrible, absolutely terrible. So the world is an interesting place, and just recently. Something that is old is once again new, because that's how the internet works. Things go in cycles. So back in 2004, at a commemorating NAACP event, in fact, it was the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. You know, that would be the school segregation decision. Bill Cosby gave a speech, and this is kind of one of those landmark speeches that, well, let me cut to the chase. It says, we cannot blame the white people any longer. That's really the bottom line. And in fact, it actually is the bottom
line. Literally is
it is the bottom line right there, actually.
It's like, that's it, full stop.
It is right there. We cannot blame the white people any longer. I'm just direct quote. It's right there. It is the bottom line of the essay. I don't often get to do that. That's amazing. Thank you, Mr. Cosby, for actually putting the bottom line as the bottom line. It's really a well-phrased essay, I guess. Well, you know, it was a speech. So let me a little excerpt here. People marched and were hit in the face with rocks to get an education, and now we've got these knuckleheads walking around. The lower economic people are not holding up their end of this deal. These people are not parenting. They are buying things for their kids. $500 sneakers for what? And they won't spend $200 for Hooked on Phonics. If it wasn't Bill, Mr. Huxtable Cosby, this would just sound like any basic white guy.
Yeah, this wouldn't fly if anybody white said it, and for good reason.
Yeah,
but this is not that. This is Mr. Cosby, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he basically is telling everybody to suck it up and pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just you know get their heads put on straight. Well,
take some responsibility.
Yeah. What part of Africa did we come from? We are not Africans. These people are not Africans. They don't know a thing about Africa. With names like Shaquilla, Tequila, and Muhammad, and all that crap, and all of them are in jail. Brown or black versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We have got to take the neighborhood back. People used to be ashamed. Today, a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands, or men, or whatever you call them now. We have millionaire football players who cannot read. We have million-dollar basketball players who can't write 2 paragraphs. Black folks have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you are hurting us. You have to start holding each other to a higher standard. We cannot blame the white people any longer. So I just saw this going around, and I thought that it was worth highlighting, just because. No, really, he did say it, and he said it with good reason.
Yeah. And it continues to make the rounds.
It does,
but I don't know that it's falling on any ears that need to hear it.
No, it isn't.
I mean, I don't need to hear this.
You know what? If we keep putting it out there. You just keep putting it out there. We can only hope that eventually someone's going to hear it. The people who it's directed at are going to hear it.
Yeah. Amazingly enough, though, I mean, we have such a culture of entitlement where everybody thinks that they're just entitled to these things. You know, the $500 sneakers or $200 Game Boy or whatever. Oh, geez, I'm really dating myself.
Well,
by saying Game Boy.
I don't know. Entitlement problem is more of a priorities problem. Is what I see is you know, they prioritize these things that do nothing for them. And it's like, I heard some song the other day, and it's like, I don't want a big house. I'd rather have 500 chains around my neck. And it's like, those 500 chains are useless. Besides, they're going to cause you neck problems. But
your chiropractor will thank you.
Yeah. You know, there are things other than hood respect out there. And good things that are worth striving for. They're not, you know, there are allies out there that will accept you and help you. Want everyone around them to succeed, because when you succeed, we all succeed together.
I like what you said there about the whole, about how getting respect in the hood or whatever, however it's said, because I honestly don't know, because I grew up on military bases. I know nothing about the ghetto. You know, respect and honor and those sorts of things are internal. All that should matter to you is how you feel about you. Anyone who looks down upon you for any reason, they are not worth your time. Stop giving a shit what the guy next to you thinks. Now, obviously that doesn't work in all situations. There are times when, yeah, you should care what the guy next to you thinks, and teenagers obviously can't live by this because we're stupid teenagers. And of course we care what everyone else thinks. But once you get past that hormonal hurdle, you start really getting into actual real life, you know, do you feel good about your choices? Does it really help you to have a $500 pair of shoes when a $20 pair would suffice? You know, come on, people. Just do something with your life.
Now, I think that these remarks really are not simply for African Americans. They're for people of any color, especially in today's day and age.
They certainly can apply.
And Mr. Cosby, Dr. Cosby, he's continued to defend these comments. He's not shying away from them. In fact, really, he's just continued to double down on them. 2004 was really a banner year for him. He took a public soapbox at a Reverend Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition conference in Chicago, saying, "You've got to stop beating up your women because you can't find a job, because you didn't want to get an education, and now you're earning minimum wage. You should have thought more of yourself when you were in high school, when you had an opportunity." And then in December 2004, he addressed a panel at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn, telling them, "Stop waiting for a leader. Get up, tell your friends, and if they can't get up, we must see about them, because they are the true victims. It's time to study for hours a day with your children. Teach them how much they'll be worth when they have A's instead of F's." So, and that's where... Yeah, that's for everybody. Yeah. That's for everybody. And this was 2004. That's 10 years ago. Almost 10 years ago. And yet we're still
relevant today.
Yeah, we're still seeing this.
We should be beyond this by now.
you would think, but...
change happens very slow.
Change in and of itself is hard, especially when you're in a situation that deifies the shoes, deifies all this crap, you know, and it's like,
but the $1,000 wheel per rim wheels on my $500 car is what we need.
Right.
Yeah.
I got a $10,000 stereo and a $500 car.
You know,
you can hear me 8 miles away.
and this is something that I've, you know, had friends in the hood, and they basically tell me about a lot of shit that goes on, but, you know, the continuous theft from one another. It's like they literally cannot get two nickels together to get out of that situation because somebody else in that situation steals from them. And it's like, you know, you guys are literally in these situations, you're dragging yourselves down. You're all aboard this ship, and you're all punching holes in the hull.
Yeah, it's a terrible environment.
Like, I mean, come on. It's, you know, if you'd stop stealing from each other, maybe people would have money to help each other.
I mean,
you know,
wasn't that, Wasn't that the point of that whole Million Man March thing? They all stood up together to help each other, and then what happened?
I mean, stop waiting for a leader. Get up, tell your friends, and if they can't get up, we must see about them because they are the true victims. That is the case, and there are many people that are simply victims of their circumstances, and that is true. And now that you know that, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what color you are. You know, if you want to make something better of yourself, then I'll help you. But I can't do it for you.
Yeah.
No.
No one can do it for you. That's the wrong attitude. But yeah. People will help.
Segway to Iraq.
Segway to Iraq.
We couldn't do it for them either. Yeah. We had the full force of the United States military, a decade of training. Their people, and as soon as a force of 10,000 guys shows up, they laid down their weapons and said, "It's yours. Not worth fighting for."
Womp womp.
Well, more of the story, yeah. You cannot do it for other people.
You cannot build someone else a nation because they're gonna have no pride, no loyalty to it.
Right. You cannot make somebody want to be more.
We had a lot more luck putting other dictators in. That seemed to be our real strong suit, I think, as a nation.
No, I think
we've done that how many times now?
I can't count.
Well, I mean, I think our
more than we probably know
talent is creating a true web of clusterfuckery. that exists in that region to this day it's just like the more we meddled, okay, we'll help this group and train them. Oh, they're no longer friendly to us. Well, we'll help their enemies. At this point, it's such a tangled web that there's no one left to help that isn't already an enemy of ours.
honestly, to add a little levity to these proceedings, I think I believe in the words of the great comedian Eddie Izzard, who said, you know, with all this mess that is in these places in the world, we should just get a bunch of German and Japanese people and parachute them into these areas, because the German and Japanese are very good at organization and being military and having everything in order. And Eins zwei, very Prussian. Just have them parachute in and be like, all right, guys, we've done this before. We've done the killing. Just everyone take it from us. Just chill out. Okay. Put everything in order and we'll all be happy.
That would be great if they actually knew who they were.
That would
involve adding more education to the mix so that they would actually be aware that, okay, here's what happened in world history beyond your sandbox.
here's what happened. We've done this before.
Yeah. It's like, here's the history that you should learn from. Oh, wait. No one ever does that.
We march down this road. We will continue marching down this road. Obama's sending 300 more people there.
This is a bad idea. This is a bad experiment. We are bad people.
Well, I mean, it's misguided.
Been like, what, 50 years of bad experimentation?
Yeah.
50 years created a really good web of clusterfuckery. Because, I mean, like, if you look at the region there, the different terrorist groups and then the different countries and who they're allied with and who their mortal enemies are,
if you want to know, Go and dig in your parents' garage or in their attic or something. Find their Rand McNally World Atlas from like the 90s. And look, you're not going to recognize half the names on that map. Those countries don't exist anymore.
Yes.
It's changed so much that you go back just, you know, within my lifetime. And I don't recognize half the names in that part of the world anymore.
Yeah. Welcome to revisionist history in many ways, too.
Yep.
In fact, let's get to picks, because we're over our hour and a half mark.
So I told you the title
that
wasn't
never good. Happened.
Well, you know, I was watching it.
We never run long.
No, we never run long. What was that?
But it's helpful. No, we're shorter. We're not 2 hours yet.
We're not done. we're not done.
2 hours or bust, I say.
Here's my pick. My pick is go to your local thrift store, go to the books, and find a complete set of encyclopedias.
Ooh.
Find a whole sack. I don't care what year. Pick them. Grab them. Take them home. And at the very least, put them on the shelf. One, it'll make you look smarter to be able to come over. That's always a plus, right? Secondly, in case you ever question something about something that is stated in history, go look it up. Just check. Because you know what? Once it's down in print, those books haven't changed. Wikipedia.
The internet, on the other hand.
Wikipedia can change. That is actually its strength. It's also its weakness. It is a double-edged sword. It is constantly updated, and sometimes it's updated with shit. So it is good to have an old reference material, even if it's outdated. Sometimes outdated information is actually what you need. So I have several sets of encyclopedias from different decades, one from the 70s, one from the 60s. I'm working on getting one that's even older. So that's my pick, old encyclopedias. And they're cheap. I got an entire set of encyclopedias for $10.
Hey.
Cheap and easy.
Cheap. Sweet. Yeah.
The way we like it.
And I don't really care about them, so if my kids pull them out and they do something bad to them, well, it happened. Get some scotch tape, put it back together.
Hey. You know there's character in those books. That's held right. Together with tape. They're well loved.
That's right. Start at A and go to index. You will learn a lot about the world. So that's my pick. We don't have anything in the show notes for picks, so go ahead and just rattle something off if you got it.
Rattle something off.
Otherwise, we'll just close
it
out.
What you got, Dave? You got
some? Let me go to my box of books over here.
I'll plug something then.
Super random.
In the vein of learning, because – I will preface this by saying, of course, we always love to learn. But at the same time, men cannot exist on work alone. We need our entertainment. So I am going to plug the show starring the great Hugh Laurie, House MD. There's a lot of great factual medical knowledge. You can learn some really fascinating things about some really rare diseases and stuff that you would never thought may have never even thought exists.
You know, in that vein. I'm listening to a podcast called Best Evidence in Emergency Medicine.
Yeah.
I don't know why I ever started listening to it, but, you know, they actually go through real life examples and of new emerging things and treatments for ER stuff. So it's cool. It's strangely, you know, appealing in that dry sort of way. But there have been cases that someone was saved because of an episode of House.
Yeah, there's a lot of great true medical fact on that show, and it's really cool, and it's, you know, it's a great show, and you can have fun and be entertained while you learn something.
That is a great show,
and I'm actually watching the whole series through on Netflix. It's on Netflix. I'm watching it again for the second time.
All right.
Yeah,
that is an excellent one. Dave, did you find a book?
Found the Idiot's Guide to Fishing.
That's a great one.
It is a great one, you know. Learn something new. Maybe you're something you've never done, or you know, just
reach into your bucket list and pull something out.
Do something.
It's a survival skill, you know. My roommate learned to make bread. He taught himself to make his own bread from scratch because he's like, you know what? If the apocalypse ever happens, I don't know how to make bread, and bread's important.
Bread is important. Bread is very important.
Do something that challenges you. You know, fishing's not going to challenge a lot of people, but I didn't grow up learning how to fish. It's trickier than you might think. So it's something that I've worked on a little bit.
Yeah.
I was going to start making candles and soap.
That's a good skill.
Those are important.
Where are you going to get the fat?
Well, I already know how to cook. Yeah. No, we're not going to. We're not going down Fight Club. No. Okay. Don, Ann, any picks?
You got anything? I don't know. I was thinking Levity, the IT crowd.
Oh, oh, the Icy Crust.
That is a very entertaining show.
Fantastic show.
Have you turned it off and back on again?
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Otherwise.
The first episode, she goes to the interview and she's like, email, sending emails, writing emails, clicking, double clicking, triple clicking. He's like, wow, it sounds like, he's like, it sounds like you should be in charge of the IT department.
Wow. It's one of those cases of it's obviously exaggerated for comedic effect, but I work at a Radio Shack now, so we, part of what we do is IT stuff, and it hurts how true that show is, because like everyone who's not in the IT department thinks that technology is fucking magic and they're wizards. It's just, we have people come into the store like that. I'm like, really? Come on, this hurts me that you don't understand the most basic thing about your damn smartphone.
Yes. She goes, if you type Google into the Google search engine, you will break the internet. Remember they had the black box.
Internet, this is the internet,
like,
yeah.
Their crowning achievement of TV. That is like...
They're like,
that episode's
this
so amazing.
Box is the internet.
Why does it have any wires? It's wireless.
The internet's wireless.
The internet's wireless, of course.
Duh.
Right.
Yeah, and it's incredible.
The manager finds out the girl is a guy. And
yeah, I used to be a man. I thought you said that you used to be from Iran.
And they punch each other and go through the wall, and then they end up landing on the internet box, and then everybody's screaming, ah! It's the end of the internet!
It's phenomenal.
Oh, Lord.
That is an excellent way to wrap up the show. So, encyclopedias, fishing, just learn something.
House.
And
you can learn while you're having fun.
And the IT crowd.
All right.
I got nothing else. That's it.
Cheers.
Thanks for watching, everybody, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Later, dudes.
Peace out.
Bye.
That's it for us tonight. We hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we've enjoyed making it. This is the part where I beg for audience participation. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com. And participate in the live stream. Chat with us during the show on our IRC. And if you have topic ideas, email them to us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 470-222-ORLY-6759. And post and vote on stories on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/orellyradio. And if that wasn't enough, we're all over the web. Check out our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Tumblr, our Google+, and even video of the show archived at youtube.com. Consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or if you really love us, I mean really love us, consider help offset the cost of the show by contributing on our Patreon page, accessible through the Help Us link on our homepage. We really can't thank you enough for spending time with us. Until next time, this has been Orelli Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music Rocket and Pangea provided by Kevin MacLeod at Incomptech.com.